Hi there. This week I'm covering an abstract game, so I had a hard time really thinking of anything clever to do as an introduction. I mean, I could do something with these little wooden blocks, you know. Oh, I will get you, brown wooden block. No, you won't, natural colored wooden block. It's just not quite right. Abstract games tend to have all of the context and theme taken away from them and are boiled down to just the mechanics. I normally don't go for abstract games, although I'm really impressed with Go. I learned about this game at the Essen Game Fair last year. What happened is this fellow came up to me and said, "Scott, I've got this game that I'd really like to show you." And I thought, well, all right. And I took a look at it, and it was, you know, this wooden game and an abstract thing. And I thought, well, okay, I'll take it home and give it a shot. And I did, and it's been really interesting. I've introduced it to a number of people, and it's one of those games that people don't play one game of. They do it once, and they say, hey, I want to try that again, and try it again. So it's a really clever game, so I wanted to bring it to you here. So I realize it's a bit out of my normal fare, but I'd like you to open your mind for Conhex.
Welcome to the Board Games with Scott podcast. This is just the audio from the Board Games with Scott videos. To see the full videos, head over to www.boardgameswithscott.com.
Well, welcome to Board Games with Scott. I'm pleased to be here in Germany. We have lovely fountains in the background, here with Michael Antonov, and he is the designer of Conhex, and this is an abstract game. I haven't talked about a lot of those before, but it's an exciting game, and his people are writing about it, and I thought I'd bring him here to talk a little bit about the game. So thank you for coming on my show.
My pleasure.
The components of Conhex are relatively simple. There's a basic rule sheet. That's really all it takes. It's a very simple game. There's not much to the rules. You've got a nice solid wood board. You have these nice wood components. One player is going to play white and one player is going to play black. And then you have these little round beads. Beads go into the holes in the board, and that's the problem with them. As you can see, they're hard to deal with. They're little. They roll about. This is my own cup. The game doesn't come with anything to put them in, so you're going to need to come up with some way of keeping the beads from rolling around everywhere. I think these could have been better designed into cubes, for example, that would fit diagonally into these recesses, and that would work a lot better than the round beads. But that said, the game is a very pretty game, and this is something that if you have it sitting out on your coffee table, it will be very attractive to someone who walks by or to your local cat. That's all there is to the components. This is all it is, and so why don't we get right on to the gameplay. The game of Conhex is a game about making connections. One player is attempting to connect the board side to side. The other player is attempting to connect the board from top to bottom. And they're trying to connect it using these markers. Now, these markers fit into the spaces that you see on the board. And so what's going on is that each player is trying to make a connection to the other side. Now, it might be a straightforward connection that you end up making, like that. It might be a connection that goes all the way over the board and then comes screaming back over here and then goes over here like that. So the other player at the same time is going to be coming across this way, attempting to connect these two sides together. And so the way this game works, just like with any connection game, one player is going to be able to win because they'll make their connection and will cut off the other player because a solid connection will keep the other player from getting through. On your turn, you're going to play one gemstone in one indention, and that's all you do. And then the other player plays a gemstone in an indention. Now, as soon as you have half or more of the indentions in a region, you get to put your marker there. If there's an even number of indentions, then the first player to play half gets to place their marker there. If there's an odd number of indentions in a space, then the first player to take a majority gets to put their marker there. So if black were to play here, then black would get to put their marker in this space. If there are an odd number of indentions in the space, then the first person to claim two out of the three gets to place a marker. And that's what you do. These markers are never moved. So even if later on there were three brown ones that appeared here, making it three and three, since white got half of the spaces filled first, then white's going to get to leave their marker there. The middle actually has five. There's an indention in the middle. So the first person to have three of their markers around the middle gets to put the marker in there. Here's the thing about the game. Because these edge spaces only require three, it's very fast to move across the edge. The middle spaces have five or six, and it's slow to move in the middle. So you can try to cut through the middle, but it's going to take you more beads. It's faster to cut across the bottom. It's also easier to block there. Let's say I could play in the middle there, and then there gets me one here, and there gets me one here. And notice it also gets me this one because I have three out of those six. So that's the other thing, is you can end up actually claiming up to 3 spaces in a turn by playing your bead at the middle intersections. Of course, if your opponent sees you doing that, they're going to try to stop it fairly quickly. And as soon as one player has made a connection across the direction they were going for, they win the game. Let's hear a little bit from the designer about what a new player should think about when they're playing this game.
One of the greatest advantages of this board is that it's different from almost all strategic games. In the sense, when you play strategic games, you get very often the advice for newbies is go to the center. Who's got the center has almost won the game. This is not so here. Thanks to that original design, the edges are very, very strong. You have a strong threat to win the game very quickly if you attack along the edges, so that you have to keep watching the whole of the board. And that's the actual strategic element to it. If you think small, only about small tactical problems in this corner or this corner, you're not going to win. You have to keep the whole of the board in mind and into consideration.
It's good that you bring up that difference between strategy and tactics, because that may be something that some of you haven't dealt with before. Mm-hmm. And sort of this idea that tactics are these smaller battles in a game, and your strategy is taking a much longer view.
Yeah.
And so in this game, being a connection game, having that longer view in mind and giving up on battles that you're losing is a good thing to do.
Yeah. If you see there is no way to get through on the left side of the board, well, there is the right side. You have better chances to break through the edges, along the edges. And each player has 2 edges to attack on and 2 edges to defend against. It's the same story, and the center beside. So it's a lot to do.
A couple other notes. The way the game suggests to start is that the person who is going to start places their bead somewhere on the board. And then the other player can make a choice. The other player can choose to take that spot with their own gem, and then play continues, or the other player can leave that spot and place their gem somewhere else on the board. So what that does is that mitigates the advantage of going first. When you place your first piece, you're going to place it in a fairly weak spot, because if you place it in a strong spot, the other player will swap it out and they'll have a strong start. So you have to make a decision about where you're going to place, and it's a very clever way to deal with the start player getting to get on the board first. To help you see how this game goes, I'm actually going to play out a game of it. White is going to try and connect top to bottom. Black is going to try and connect side to side. Again, we'll say white's the start player. White puts down a piece. Black decides whether he wants to be on that intersection or wants to leave it for white. Now he sees it's touching 3 different spaces. That could be useful, so black's going to go ahead and take that. And now white gets to play. So white says, well, I'm going to start playing on the edges because it's much easier to take edge spaces. Black says, no, you won't. I shall stop you from that. And white says, well, you can't stop me for long, and gets his first take. And black decides that he wants to protect, at least have some way to get to this edge of the board. Now white sees there might be a problem here, but can't really stop it because black needs to play 1 here. So white can say, I'm going to lose this, so I need to think about something else. So this might be a better play for white. And so he's going to go ahead and come in down here. White, of course, doesn't like that at all. And black says, well, you've got to stop me. And white says, well, I'm going to try. And black says, you're too slow. Now white's starting to worry because he's somehow got to get a connection down here. He's going to be in trouble. So he thinks he can go for that corner. Black wants to make sure that things are difficult for him. And notice now black is just 2 spaces from winning, but white's getting ready to stop that with this play. So black's going to try and divert. Notice he can't go up here because he's already lost that space because white can take it. So he's going to try and figure out how he can get up this way. Well, one way is by doing that. That's going to at least help him there. White figures he'd better do what he can to get his connection established. So black decides to come up this way, knowing that he can probably take that one if he hurries, because he just has to put 1 more there, so white has to think about what to do. White's going to try to make a run around the edge, though, like this. So Black is busy focused on taking these middle spaces. White's got a big advantage here. Doesn't take anything with that. But Black can take this. White's going to go ahead and step up here, ignoring Black's threat, because he knows if he can cut through, Black's going to be in trouble. Now, Black realizes that Black has to connect over here, so he's got to do something to start doing that. So he'll play there. White is going to continue trying to get across. Black knows he can't goof around with this. Now, White sees that he's pretty much cut off here, because Black's going to win that one. So White needs to start focusing this way. So White might play over here. Black's going to play there in a hope to try and at least get a path across, and White will come in here and take that. It's looking pretty good for White now. Black's going to have to scramble to stop him, but he can certainly do that to slow him down. But it's not going to be fast enough because White's going to be able to take this. Black can try and stop him again, and Black's going to be able to play here as well, so White can see he has to take that corner. If he doesn't, Black's going to win the game. Black's trying to connect those two, so if Black can get somewhere in here, he'll be good. So he wants to do that. White is going to try in desperation to do something, but Black is going to be able to take that and play his final piece and make his connection. And that's a game of Connex. You've just seen how it plays. It's very easy, as you can see, it plays quickly, but it's very interesting. It gets you engaged, you've got a lot of little decisions to make, but you've always got to think about this big decision, and it's clever in that it balances going for these outer spaces with the difficulty of plowing through the middle. So what do I think about this game? Well, I really like it for an abstract game. Again, it doesn't have any theme to it, you know, it's really all about just trying to connect across the board. You can get really into it and really focused, or you can just kind of hang back and have some fun with it. It's a good game. I do like this game quite a bit. When someone wants to play a two-player abstract game, this is going to be the first one that I pull out. It also looks very nice.
That's actually what we are playing for. It's the human contact, face-to-face playing. I'm very glad we can play now on the internet. And I met some wonderful people by playing internet. I made friends even with some people from Canada or from Australia or from other parts of Germany. But the best is still playing at the table, playing just face to face, just to see how you can get it.
All right, that sounds good.
Biggest complaint I have are with the round beads. They're very hard to deal with. They're small, they're difficult to pick up, and they roll away very easily. The game's got an easy way to do handicapping. You just give your opponent extra little beads on the board. It moves very quickly. It's a fun game to replay. You usually feel like you have some shred of hope for most of the game, and there's not a point where you say, well, you know, it's over, because by the time you hit that point, it's pretty much over. It rewards both strategy and tactics, and it's just a clever game. It's easier to get into than my other favorite abstract of Go. So my grade for Connex is definitely an A, but I'd have to actually give it an A star, with the star meaning your prices may vary. This is an expensive game. It's produced in Germany. You can buy it for 50 euros from a European website, or you can buy it from Fun Again for a little over $80. That's a lot of money for a two-player abstract game. It is a very good game, but it is pricey. So with that, I'll thank you very much for coming and checking out this abstract game with me. I'll have other games of future episodes of Board Games with Scott. Might even look at another abstract or two. Thanks a lot, and I'll talk with you later. Bye.
Board Games with Scott is under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Scott can be reached at scott@scottnicholson.com.
Any advice for people that are trying to, they've got a game design, sort of are in your situation, and they want to get that game design published? Do you have some advice for them?
Oh, difficult, difficult. The first, I'd say you have to love game, to have fun playing, and then comes to have fun designing. And you can't force it. I don't think you can force it. It's like poetry, it's like music. I'm absolutely bad at music, for instance. It would be absolutely nonsense if I would sit down and brood and try to compose. It won't work. It's not possible. And I do believe ideas come to one. They say there are game designers who are more or less in this professionals in the sense of, well, they sit down and say, by the end of the week I must have that game ready. I'm not that kind of guy, and I don't know how it could work. If I'm convinced I have an idea that's original, and you have to be, well, to know a lot of games, and you can look after it, Board Game Geek or whatever, here Luding in Germany, there are, thanks to internet, so many sources now, so you can get informed what's on the market, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel new. But if you are convinced you have an original idea, then work on it, try it in a small circle, testing with friends, but not only with friends, not only with family, because you have to test it with, as a next step, with experienced players who hopefully are honest and sincere and tell you what they feel is wrong. Mm-hmm. Try to connect it. And if you think it's workable, well, approach producers. Think about what kind of producer you. Best thing is if there are, well, that's maybe a good recipe. Think of the games you personally like best. Think of the game, of your game that you're going to propose. And then look at the market, which producer is doing something like that, something about, approximately, of that kind. And well, address him. It's useless to a card producer, a card games producer, it's useless to approach him with a game like that. Mm-hmm. If he likes it, he's not the man to do that sort of thing. So, but that's the most difficult part, finding a producer.
If there are an odd number of indentions in the space, such as this one, which has three indentions, then the first player to play two out of the three gets to claim the space. Now notice how, because these only require beads, bad idea.